It had a famous gay traitor that was entrapped. And that's a crazy story. You can read about that in Boer's book as well. By the way, I have a longer discussion of this book on my channel if you want to go find my sexpionage, a discussion on YouTube. But what's interesting is that the whole chapter on the gay ops, the reason that this was very effective and that gays were targeted or closeted gays were targeted is that according to the intelligence agencies themselves at this time, the gays were profiled as disloyal narcissists. And because they were addicted to the vice, they were seen to be morally defective and thus easily able to flip. And thus the KGB became very adept at gay ops and entrapping gay people. For example, Tom Dryberg was a famous gay Czechoslovakian KGB operative who entrapped gay people in the British establishment. Labour MP, 1942, etc. And this also then transitions into the famous Cambridge spy ring. There have been many, many movies, documentaries, countless books about the Cambridge spy ring, right? You've probably seen Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy based on John le Carré with Gary Oldman. That's based on the Cambridge spy ring story. Well, that was all gay ops. They were all essentially part of the Cambridge Apostles ring, which was a bunch of gay and PDF people in the British establishment. So why would it seem strange that Maxwell would be recruiting Jeff Stein McGeoffrey to engage in the exact same operation when for all of these years throughout the Cold War, Burgess, McLean, Blunt, Philby, they were already part of a giant PDF ring. And in this case, they weren't into dudes. They weren't into girls. It was little boy PDF stuff. Eden, Blunt, McLean, Burgess, Philby. And many people argue that perhaps Churchill and perhaps also that Lord Rothschild was involved in running this compromise for both sides. That's a thesis that many people have as to who the other Cambridge spy was. There's this unknown, mysterious other person of the spy ring. Could it have been Lord Rothschild himself, Lord Victor Rothschild, who worked for British intelligence and was also involved in the gay ops? I don't know if he himself was gay, but the point is that this was known to be a technique being used at this time. How do we get all of these gays in power, right? This is a key point, and this is why it's very important for movements to be compromised by having Skittles leaders amongst their ranks. And this is a number one component as to why you can't allow that. And they even understood this decades in the past. They understood that the reason you can't have gay leaders and Skittles leaders is because they are narcissistic, disloyal, and thus can be easily compromised and controlled. It's very cut and dry. It's very simple. But apparently today, this has all been forgotten because people don't even care if the leaders amongst these various groups happen to be openly gay. And this happens all the time, speaking mainly of normie conservatives and how often this happens amongst, you know, GOP and this kind of stuff, who are now, well, we're open big tent conservatives. You can't have that because people that are that have these proclivities are easily compromisable. There's the famous case of Klaus Fuchs, which is another compromise operation. This had to do with, if I recall, Soviet atomic secrets again, stealing them. In some cases, the compromise just included nude pictures, which is interesting because although we don't know if this is true, there have been for many years stories that Karol Wojtyła or John Paul II was filmed and photographed in terms of nude pictures, and that this might explain some of his actions in regard to why he was so easily swayed by whatever the CIA said to do during the Cold War. There was another famous Soviet spy ring that was busted. That was a sex op. And the woman involved was named Judith Copeland. She was a radical leftist Soviet convicted of spying for Russia. And she tried a love story defense. However, this defense failed, and she was still given 10 years in prison. She was also helping the Soviet United Nations networks, because the Soviets had actually infiltrated the United Nations with what's report was reportedly 500 or so spies. And many of them were actually sex operatives and sex ops. So by the 1960s, there were around were what was suspected to be 500 United Nations Soviet spies. That would make up about one third of the United Nations delegates at that time. Thus, the United Nations, which was a hive of sex pot honey trap operations, they began to promote and advocate for Democrat, leftist, socialist policies, especially in the United States. They were also utilizing human trafficking at this time to get some of these operatives and some of these delegates, one of whom was called, or one of whom was, that was involved was a compromise operation with Harry Allen Towers. These were known as the Towers Girls. And this was a KGB entrapment operation utilizing the United Nations. As a result of this, eventually dozens of Soviet spies that were discovered were expelled. Many of them were also gay, faking gay. Thus, the United Nations became a feast for spies, according to Donald Boer. Asia was also very adept at this. For many centuries, Asians and Asian countries, whether it's Japan or China or wherever, East, Southeast Asia, they had actually set up secret societies based around sex and sex secrets. And they were able to utilize these techniques for centuries for compromise. In fact, there were whole languages and networks that sex spies had created using T codes, that is like tea, like drinking, like tea, reading the tea leaves. One of which was called the Black Ocean Society. So the Black Ocean Society was a secret society amongst the Far East that had perfected the technique of sex languages and sex ops. In some cases, Russian operatives were able to foil Japanese ravens. So in the Russo-Japanese War, this happened as well. In the case of Israeli intelligence, they were very adept at this. There were many cases mentioned. And in when you would have, for example, some of the defectors, before I get to this with Israelis, you would have some defectors who would say that many of the KGB operations were really just successful because of gay stuff. So I think when Anatoly Golitsyn, a defector from the KGB, his claim was that the KGB was really only successful mainly through their homosexual operations. Israeli intelligence was successfully deploying agents, female agents, for many years, many decades, to obtain information not just from the West, but also amongst the Soviets. One of the most famous cases with Ellie Cohen, who became a Mossad agent and infiltrated Syria at the highest levels. So they were utilizing sex ops amongst the Syrian elite and also in Egypt. They were able to compromise some of the Ba'athist party members early on through gay ops. But it turns out Ely Cohen was a master spy, one of the most famous cases, but ended up being outed and caught and was hung in Damascus by the Syrian authorities. There was also a case of a German Jew who posed as a Nazi and was able to undo a bunch of Nazi operations. And this was a person named Lotz, L-O-T-Z, Lotz, Wolfgang Lotz, was able to successfully undo Egyptian operations against Israel by posing as an SS person. Now, that's a whole 200 pages right there of history of espionage summarized in a few decades. all the way up just to World War II and the Cold War. Does anybody actually think that this just stopped after the Cold War? And that, of course, it didn't stop. In fact, we had many cases of senators, congresspeople being compromised by, for example, Chinese operatives. But it's not any different when it comes to Epstein, who's working at a higher level, as we can see, compromising people at all levels, not just for Israel, but also for Western intelligence in general. So that's the reality of how the world works. This is the Alex Jones Show, and I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer. Go to alexjoneslive.com, support Alex on X, on Rumble, everywhere else. Go to jaysanalysis.com, and you can get my book in the shop. Find copies at jaysanalysis.com.
Your arm been hacked off by a homeless person with a samurai sword? Try Shilajit gummies today.
A guy in Venice Beach just got his arm nearly hacked off by some tweaker with a samurai sword. And as of 4:15, he is still on the loose. And seemingly, the reaction from our local government is basically like, oh, shit, like, these things just happen. Like, this is what we're, this is our new normal. F that, dude. I want to live in an LA that is safe to go out, where I don't have to worry about walking around and getting my arm hacked off by some tweaker looking for drugs.
Sorry, I ate a Shilajit gummy. Sorry, I thought I could finish it before that clip was over. You caught me. Shilajit gummies, folks. We're not joking. They're very good. Shilajit gummies. Are you a leftist idiot that thinks it's normal that men get